Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Football Fig Nuts Podcast. This is Season 7, Episode 29 overall. That is 304 episodes of just wacky footballness. My name is Craig.
And I'm Cinch.
Bush. And Cinch is back with me this week. How are Yay. You? How are you, sir?
Just things are great. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here. And that was a wonderful sound of you pouring beer into a glass.
I can't wait anymore.
So let's just go right with it. Cinch, what are you drinking?
I have a very green from Treehouse.
Oh.
It's a double IPA. It's 8%.
Oh.
And yeah, that's good.
Good. Have you had this before?
I have.
Oh, good. Good.
Everything from Treehouse is good.
Yeah, I don't think I've really had anything I didn't like from Treehouse. There's ones I've liked better than others, but nothing I haven't liked, I don't think. Though it always confused me that there's one beer that they make, I think it's like a peanut butter something beer, but that's not really what the name of it sounds like, and there's peanuts in it, and there's no, like, nothing on the label says made with peanuts. So I don't know. I think they should just put something on there with, like, made with peanuts, just saying.
Man, what a surprise for the person with peanut allergies.
You know?
Let me tell you, there's a couple of different Treehouse locations, I think.
Yeah,
but the one I went to,
one or two of the extra ones, I think.
Right on the sand. And if you're up for a road trip, go to that place, right on the sand, go up the stairs up there so you're elevated like one level up.
Yep.
And you got the waves crashing right in front of
you.
Where
the hell? Wait, where are you in this brewery?
Well, I'm not there now. But I mean, when you walk in the door from the parking lot, there's one level that you could order, or you could pick up, by the signs and T-shirts and stuff.
Right.
And then if you're going to stay there, you go up this flight of stairs, and the whole wall is a wall of windows, and you're right there on the sand facing the ocean.
Where the
hell
is
this? You see
the
waves right there? Massachusetts.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. All right, then. I was not aware of that. I've never been up there. Well, I've been to Massachusetts, but I've never been to Treehouse.
Well, you got to go.
I should
go. I'll go, too. I'm not saying you got to go by yourself.
All right. Are there hotels? Not that Massachusetts is really far from us, but is there somewhere to stay? Because if I'm in Massachusetts and at a brewery all day, I don't think I really want to drive back here in the same day.
I mean, I'm sure there is. I can't even tell you what town it's in.
Somewhere near there. Somewhere where there's water. So
you know there's food up there because there's a town named Sandwich. So,
there you go.
You know.
There you go. So for the first time in a while, actually, that's not true. I've been off meds for this week, so I'm good. I still don't feel 100%, but I'm not taking anything. So I'm back to drinking because that's medicine.
What are you drinking?
So I don't have any beer. I have no beer. So I had to go to the big boy shelf. So I have a glass of Jefferson's whiskey. Or bourbon. I forget which it actually is, but it's very good. They're the one. It's not this particular one I have right now, but they're the ones that do the. they brew, not brew. Sorry, they distill their beverage and then they put it on boats, so it like sloshes around in the barrel to like add flavor to it. So I haven't tried that one yet, but this is their like original one, which is not on a boat, but it's good.
You ever hear of? Can't remember who it was, some rock and roll or heavy metal band people. They
Metallica.
They came up
Anthrax.
With
Anthrax. I don't know.
it could be Metallica. They came up with their own alcohol and they would play the music nonstop while it was distilling. And they said that different kinds of songs would make the flavor change.
You know what's crazy about that? I don't know who that is. I'm gonna have to look that up. But there's actually proof where you you play music or talk to plants and it actually helps them grow. So,
well, I'm a bad man because I say to the plants, why don't you just die?
I mean, you're still
talking. It's going to happen.
You're still talking to them. So I think it still works.
It's going to happen. You've come into my world and plants don't survive around me. Don't fight it. Go towards the light.
That's sad. Sad. Wow. Yeah, so today is the first day of baseball, Cinch.
Yes.
Are you excited?
Very excited.
You're
I'm
excited.
Very excited.
I am semi-excited because on paper, the Yankees should be good, but already like five of them are hurt. So
we don't play games on paper.
Yes, that's fantasy baseball. You run the league.
And we should talk trade. I'm always interested.
Yeah, so there's not a lot going on in the NFL. There's not a ton, so this may not be really the hour and a half long podcast that we usually do. So, but you know what? We're not, I don't know. You have any burning hot takes? Because we can just like have an open mic kind of podcast and talk about whatever. I'm okay with that.
Oh my God, Craig, you're so wrong.
Wow.
There's so much happening in the NFL.
Is there?
We changed the kickoff.
Oh yes, the
well,
the,
I mean, the we didn't do it. They changed the kickoff.
The rule changes. Yes, that's right. The NFL NFL adopted the XFL kickoff, which is interesting. I think we'll see. I don't know.
Terrible.
All I know is they. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's terrible. It's gimmicky.
it's for excuse me, sir. It is for the safety of players. Okay. That's what the NFL is about. The NFL does not want anyone to get hurt while they play a very violent game. Okay? That's what's happening right now.
All right. So that's what you say. That's what the NFL says. It's for the safety of the players.
Right.
So here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to put the kickoff back in the game because the way it had been going, everybody could kick it into the end zone, get the ball at the 25-yard line. But we're concerned about player safety.
Right.
So we'll move everybody closer to the ball.
Right.
And we'll tell you that if you kick it in the end zone, they're moving it now. I think it's the 30. They're moving it to the 30-yard line. And that's because they don't want you to kick it in the end zone. They want you to kick it to the 5-yard line where it's got to be returned so more guys can hit each other.
Right.
And then to go one step further, because we're here for player safety, there's going to be two games on Christmas Day this year, which is a Wednesday. So these guys are going to play Sunday, and then they're going to play Wednesday, and it's all about player safety.
Exactly. Exactly. That is why they are making the hip tackle illegal, because of player safety, because of how many people get hurt every Sunday, every Saturday, playing football, getting hip tackled, because there are other ways to tackle a person who is running away from you, especially if you play Madden, where you hit the button and you dive at the person. Okay, so if you can just do that in real life, it should be much better.
So now, when you're chasing the guy, you hit the button.
You hit the button. You can dive at him. I guess I guess you can try to grab his ankle. I don't know. You can hop on his back like a piggy. Like, originally, remember the Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Bears? Was that the Super Bowl? Yeah.
Yes. 1985.
Yes. And then the fridge got the ball and he ran down the sideline and there were like eight Patriots on his back and he was still going. That's
no. That was the Simpsons.
That's pretty much what's going to happen.
You're right.
That's pretty much going to happen. Now, I want you to totally ignore the fact that the NFL is still using AstroTurf, which is highly detrimental to everyone's health. So just ignore that. I want you also to ignore the fact about concussions. So that don't bring that up either. But all of this is about player safety. So
Right. You know, when I heard that the new change to the hip tackle, that it would be illegal, I looked at some of the videos, and they have the video that this is a hip drop tackle, and this will now be illegal. This is the legal tackle, and half of the ones that I saw that were okay looked just like the other one.
Exactly.
Like, here's what's going to happen, and it's going to drive everybody crazy, and it's going to feed into the paranoia that everything is fixed.
It's fixed.
the Chiefs are going to have that big game.
Yep.
They're going to be, fourth in whatever, and Mahomes needs to come up with a big play, and they're going to sack Mahomes for a loss.
Yep.
Oh, it was the hip drop tackle, 15 yards, first down. The Chiefs win the game. Oh, the league is fixed.
Yes.
You know, you want to change the Chiefs to someone else? That's fine. put in whatever team you want. That's what everyone's going to see. That's what's going to happen. Or it's going to be the obvious, oh my God, that was a hip drop. And I don't even know what a hip drop is. My wife doesn't care. She says that's a hip drop. And they don't call it and nothing happens.
Right. It's going to be another one of those in the moment calls that referees are just going to be like, I don't know. Maybe it was. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention and it happened really fast. So I don't like this other team. So I'm just going to say it was. So, yeah.
How about this? Here's my new rule.
Sure.
Every year around this time, the NFL has to eliminate one rule.
Ooh, I like that.
Just get rid of it. There's too many rules. Nobody wants to see the referee.
It is a no giant one is saying, list of
why
rules.
Why isn't
they have.
There a flag? Mm-hmm. We all get to the playoff games, and look at that. There are only 3 flags in this playoff game, but in week 3, there's 28 flags. No more flags.
Yeah.
Every year, we're eliminating a rule.
That's fine by me. I'm okay with that.
I mean, by the time they get rid of all of them, I'll be dead. So, really, it doesn't matter? You mean to tell me, and I don't have an NFL rule book, and who would?
It's quite long.
You mean to tell me, if you open that rule book and you read something, you couldn't tell me, I've never seen that call. They should just get rid of it.
I think that would happen every several pages. Yes.
I think we could go 6 or 7 years before we would even notice it. You wouldn't even feel the difference.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I understand people get, like, listen, football is a very violent sport. We all know that. People get hurt. But you are literally, and I realize that offensive, like, scoring is, you know, more exciting than a defensive game. I get that. I also get that you literally can bet freaking anywhere now, so that's a whole other thing. So what is betting usually based on is scoring. So I get it, and they're just changing the defense so much. Like, I don't understand how these guys are going to be able to change what they've been learning literally since they were probably like 8 years old, like on a dime. Like, oh yeah, you can't tackle someone like that now. Like, it's going to get called in at the stupidest times. And I'm just trying to prep myself for when that happens. And I'm still going to get
annoyed. Penalties are like pornography. It's hard to define it, but I know it when I see it. That's a hold. There's holds that it's like, he didn't even touch him. How is that holding? And then there's holds where it's like, he gave him a bear hug and whispered in his ear, and that's a hold.
Yep, and that one doesn't get called, but the other one does.
Just too many penalties.
There is. I agree. I agree with you.
And just, I have a one-sentence breakaway from football I just
sure.
want to say.
Go for it.
If anyone out there believes that Ohtani is completely innocent of everything, I've got a river in my backyard I want to sell you. I've got a boat in Arizona for you.
Free Pete Rose.
I've got a bridge. I've got a bridge I could sell you. Yes. Because, I mean, there's just no way. But that's for a different time and place entirely. But
I
just wanted to
get
that out.
I know. You can go down a whole rabbit hole of that. Because, you know, the whole thing where he... Like, did he know? Did he not know? Did he know his interpreter/friend had a gambling problem and he was just helping him pay it off because he could? Who really knows?
Had to write 9 checks for $500,000.
Yes.
Because he couldn't write one that the bank would cash for $4.5 million.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even care. I'm not saying
I don't
you gotta,
care.
Like,
I don't really care
whatever,
either.
But.
But yeah, I think it's just so Vegas and its lobby has made it so easy for people to gamble. Like, I'm not surprised this happened. The only thing that's slightly surprising, slightly surprising is the fact that sports betting is still illegal in California, technically.
I mean, that's insane if you think about it.
Which part?
Out of all the places that you think would have it, you would think California would be one of the first ones.
I mean, it's not that far from Vegas. You would think it, but no.
Do you think people call up their local bookie?
Yes.
To bet on the Oscars in California?
Probably.
Because, I mean, people bet on the Oscars. You could bet on anything.
You literally can bet on anything. There is a forklift competition that was like on ESPN 2, who was on ESPN 2, it was on I think it was on ESPN 2 at like 3 o'clock in the morning somewhere. It's a forklift competition where it's people driving forklifts where they have to like move like really small objects and they're timed and all that. I guarantee you, people bet on that. And honestly, if I had enough to drink, I would probably bet on it too. I mean, Britt and Sean bet on the hot dog eating contest. So,
many, many, many years ago, when I was still a young lad living in my parents' home, they went out of town. I had a party. Mm-hmm. And people were passed out drunk, and it was about 4:30 in the morning. And the source and I just happened to be the last two people sitting there awake. And this is back when ESPN was new.
Yeah.
So we were just kind of flipping the TV around, and we came across camel racing on ESPN.
The things you find at ESPN at are like early in the morning or late at night.
And, you know, it was back when ESPN was new, so they didn't have – they couldn't show you the replay of whatever major game.
Yeah, we're talking – was this like early 90s-ish?
Probably. Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Yep. So real quick, the other rule changes, we should
– Sure.
You know, mention them. So the kickoff changed. The
tackling.
And it's the XFL rule, and then they've got the hip drop thing. The trade deadline is 1 week later. I don't know how much of a difference that'll make.
I'm okay with that. Like, I don't, that's all right, I think.
Move from week 8 to week 9. So, sure. Okay.
That's half the season now, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's fine. That's fine.
Coaches no longer have to win both of their challenges to get a third challenge. You just have to win one of your two challenges, which, I mean, okay.
All right. I mean, that could prove to be important, like, at some point, but okay. All right.
Here's one. I'm just going to read this quickly to you.
Yeah, sure.
Enforcement of fouls on change of possession plays.
Okay.
So during a play that results in a possession change, if fouls are committed by both teams, God bless you.
Sorry.
Just sneeze.
I'm good. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Hey, this is important stuff. It's nothing to sneeze at. If fouls are committed by both teams, any major offensive foul, like unnecessary roughness, that were committed before the possession change will now be enforced. Wait. I don't know what I just read, but
Wait. Read that one more time.
Okay. During a play that results in a possession change.
Okay.
If fouls are committed by both teams,
okay,
any major offensive foul, like unnecessary roughness,
yep,
that were committed before the possession change will now be enforced.
Okay, so
you rough the passer, the ball is up in the air, it gets intercepted.
Right.
Let's say he gets tackled right on the 50-yard line.
Okay.
So if there are penalties by both teams in the past, that wouldn't they offset and you would
they would offset and they would just get the ball wherever he got tackled. Yes.
So I guess what you're saying is, let's say there's holding by the defense or holding by the offense and roughing the passer by the defense. Now they're going to enforce the roughing the passer and it will be a replay of the down, I guess.
Well, I understood that as they would just enforce a penalty on the possession, like, so the Patriots get the ball back on the 50, but then they would get a 15-yard penalty, so it would go back to the, I don't know, math, like 40, 35-yard line.
All it really says is any major penalties would committed before the change of possession will now be enforced.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I read that as the defense would, well, and then resulting offense would get the penalty on it, and the ball would go back. But you would keep the ball.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, that's vague because in the past, penalties by both teams offset and you replay the down.
Even on possession?
So this is, if the defense was holding on one end of the field and the offense was holding.
Right.
Interception, it's replaying the down.
Yep. No, you're right. You're right. Yep.
This just says major.
So what's major offensive something fouls. Over 5 yards? Like, what's major?
Well, major offensive fouls, I guess. Face mask is a unnecessary roughness, 15 yards.
So major would be 15 yards.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know.
All right. We'll put one of our Sean. We'll look into that and get back to you next week.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
There are changes to the replay rule.
Okay.
The replay assistant will now be allowed to correct objectively incorrect calls for intentional grounding and roughing the passer. So here's a roughing the passer flag thrown on the field. And when we see the replay, oh, he didn't even touch his head. The replay assistant can now buzz the head judge, ref, side guy, and tell them, no, pick up the flag. And they'll pick up the flag.
Huh. I thought they can do that already, but I guess not. Okay. All right.
It says also replay review will be allowed when there is clear and obvious visual evidence that the game clock expired before any snap. So we would see that game clock get down to 1-0. The defender's jumping up and down. They snap the ball and the play counts. Well, now they could review that. And if they see the zeros and the guy hasn't snapped the ball, they're going to throw a flag and that play didn't count.
Okay. All right.
And also ruling of a passer down by contact or out of bounds before throwing a pass are now reviewable plays. So there you go.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What else is going on in the NFL? Here's some quick things. Just tell me. You can just tell me your opinion on them. All right. You ready?
I don't like them. Go ahead.
The owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, he wants the Patriots to add a top-rate young quarterback, and the team is going in the right direction. Do you agree with that statement, sir, as a Patriot fan?
Well, let me say this. I have a lot of admiration and gratitude for Robert Kraft for rescuing my team way back when they were rumored to be moving to St. Louis. And,
yep. And
for
he was
everything
move
that happened
to Connecticut, and he lied
for
sorry.
Everything that happened from that point forward, the success, all of that, I will always be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this TV show, The Dynasty, on Apple TV Plus, is such a slanted anti-Belichick pro Kraft that he put out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's they did the coach wrong.
Did they? I didn't watch it. It was that bad.
So excited to move on, and everything's much easier and friendlier. And oh, the reporters are all so happy. They have a schedule. They could see exactly when the spring this and the spring that. Look, everybody's so happy to get rid of the best coach of all time. Okay, arguably the best coach, a really good coach. They're all happy to get rid of a really good coach and give the guy the job that's never been a head coach. Never called the defensive play, never done anything. Yeah, let's move on because it doesn't matter who that person is. He's not going to be as good as the guy that was doing it what's he been a head coach for 35 years now? So,
yeah, because he was going to be the head coach of the Jets and then he went.
He was in Cleveland.
He was in Cleveland as an assistant. And then
he was the head coach in Cleveland.
Yeah, but he started as an assistant and then he was the head coach. Right.
Well, he was the assistant with the Giants.
With
Schottenheimer. Defensive coordinator on the Giants.
Right. But he was an assistant with Schottenheimer, I think, or the defensive coordinator.
Well, he was he started out as a gopher for the Colts, in the early 80s, I think, or late 70s or something.
Yeah.
But they none of that. It's all.
He has a lot of. He had a lot of experience. It. Yes. Yeah.
I'm just saying, you got. I think arguably you could say the person in the world who has the most experience at that job.
Yes.
You got
exactly.
rid of.
Right.
And gave it to someone with no experience. So.
And this guy he worked for the Patriots, didn't he, already?
He's been the linebacker coach the last 5 years.
Okay.
And he's been the co-defensive coordinator with Bill's son, Steve Belichick.
Okay.
So Steve is the one that comes up with the play and calls the play into the guy on the field with the green dot on his helmet.
Okay.
From what I've read, Steve Belichick does not come across well talking to the team.
Okay.
So Gerard Mayo would be the guy presenting, this is what we're going to do. And when he does this, you do that. But
okay.
It was Steve coming up with the plays and then calling the play in. So they've both been involved. But I mean, I don't want to make it about the new coach. I'm just saying you got rid of this guy with all this experience that accomplished so much for your franchise, and you put someone in there who has zero experience. I think the Patriots are in for a cold, long, dark, dreary couple of years. As far as what the coach, to answer the question that you asked, as far as what the owner of the team thinks, you know what? He's the owner of the team. He could Jerry Jones it and say, we're drafting this player.
He could.
So I don't want to hear him say something like, I really think we should do this, or I would like to see us do this, because if you really want to do that, you'll do that. So either those guys are in charge of football or they're not in charge of football.
Right. No, you're right.
So shut the hell up, grab a beer, and sit down.
All right, I mean, here's your...
I could be wrong.
Here's your next question. Here's your next question. And because you brought up Jerry Jones, Dak Prescott is expected to play on his current contract next season. Do you think after next season, Dak is done in Dallas? You think it's over? The Dak experiment is over in Dallas after next season?
I think Dak is playing his last season in Dallas, because if they couldn't come together, that means that Dak is asking for too much, right? I mean, him and his camp are asking for too much money. Otherwise, they would have agreed to a contract. So what does that mean? That means that if Dak has a bad year, Dallas will be that much more inclined to say, no thanks, we're moving on. Mm-hmm. If Dak has a good year and then he's a free agent, he's going to have more than one offer.
True.
Maybe he says, you know, I had this great year and we didn't win again because, you know, they're the Cowboys and that's what they do. We didn't win again. Maybe it's time for me to listen to other teams, and maybe teams like the Giants come and knock on the door and say, hey, what do you think?
Can you imagine? So let's hypothetically say Dallas goes, I don't know, let's just say they go 8-9, whatever, right? That's Dak's last year in Dallas. Can you imagine him as a possibly a Jet or a Giant? I think not that I've been the biggest Dak fan, but I think he would instantly improve either of those teams.
Dak is a very solid quarterback. That's what he is. He could be really good in the regular season.
He is, yeah. Yep.
And when you get to the postseason, you kind of feel like, I don't know, Jim.
His postseason record is not stellar.
So think about the Giants for a second. So the Giants have good defense.
Yes.
I think they have a good defense.
They do. Their offense, not so much.
If the Giants said, we're not going to draft a quarterback this year, and they draft like 6 or 7 or something. If they said, we're going to draft the best receiver we could get, they would, I think, most likely get one of the top 3 receivers. You hear about Marvin Harrison. Let's see. This is a real test if I can remember these 3. Marvin Harrison.
Yep.
Roma Dunze. I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the 3rd one? I'm missing one.
I'd have to look it up.
there's 3. And the debate is whether Harrison or the guy I can't think of goes first. He's that good. So if there's 3 wide receivers that good, I think the Giants could get one. So just follow along.
Okay.
Running backs could be picked up in the 3rd round, 4th round, off the trash heap, undrafted free agent, and they can do a solid job.
Neighbors. Yes. Is it Malik Neighbors? Yes. Okay. All right.
Yes. So he's the one I couldn't think of.
Okay.
So let's give the Giants one of those receivers. Let's say that they pick up an offensive lineman in the 2nd round, or they're probably going to need a tight end, and this is a weak tight end draft except for that one tight end.
Brock Bowers. Yep.
There you go. That's him. So they're not going to get him. But if they were, or you know what? Maybe they draft him instead of the wide receiver. And then next year, all right, they're not going to make the playoffs for what I'm saying. So let's say that they have the 10th pick in the draft in the 2025 draft. But they've solidified their tight end for the next 4 years, 5 years. And they draft a wide receiver who's highly touted, because there's always guys. Now, if you're that free agent Dak Prescott, you look and you say, well, they've got a couple of good receivers. They've got a good tight end. The running game is solid. They have a good defense. That's a team that's ready built, except for the quarterback.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a better team that you could look at and say, that's where I need to go.
Let me tell you something. Maybe the Jets. I mean, the Jets defense is solid. Yeah.
The Jets, the only way Aaron Rodgers isn't there for 2025 is if everything goes dreadfully wrong.
Like, well, he's only on a two-year contract, though, isn't he?
I have no idea what his contract is. I hear him talking that he wants to play for 4 more years.
Oh, all right. I thought it was. I thought it was 2 years, but all right. Okay. Let's stick with the Giants.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's what Aaron Rodgers has said recently, that he wants to play for four more seasons. So I'm just saying, no matter what, when it ends for him with the Jets, it's going to end poorly. It's
likely
not going to be piece of cake, nice and easy. We won, and now I'm going to walk away.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, if the Jets don't win, I think you remember last week. Listen to the last episode. Right near the end, my way too early Super Bowl prediction is that the Jets will be in the Super Bowl. So I think next year it's going to work. But Aaron Rodgers, just look at his history. He's not going to just go away nice and I love everybody. There's going to be drama. There's going to be problems. There's going to, you know, he said this and she said that. And it's the Jets. It's another team that seems to have a lot of drama.
True, true. Especially with especially with their owner who refuses to trade Zach. I think he wanted Zach.
He refuses to?
He will not trade him. And now I think
he's
so embarrassed.
Hold on, wait.
He's so embarrassed that Zach is not the quarterback he thought he was going to be. Like, if he trades him now, it's actually more embarrassing for him personally. I think that's a problem.
Craig.
Yeah.
Are you off your medication? He refuses to trade him because nobody wants him. No one will give a seventh round pick.
No, he actually said that he's not going to, like, he doesn't want to trade him.
I know that. But why would he say that?
He's too embarrassed. Because I think
he's
it's
so
his.
Embarrassed.
Because if you look at last year, and all right, if anyone hears the construction next to me, I apologize. I can't really mute myself and hide that. Anyway,
Craig's got an addition put on.
I wish. If you go back to last season. And you go back to interviews with Saleh after games, and when a reporter asked him, like, why, I think it was like, why is Zach starting or who's the starting quarterback or something, and Saleh was like, that's not up to me. That means someone above him told him to start Zach. So who else is that? That would be Woody Johnson. And I think
he wants him to play. I strongly disagree with your take.
No, you look it up. He said that.
Well, I'm not saying he didn't say that. I'm saying no one will give up a seventh round pick for him. Okay, so that means here's this guy that, what was he, the second overall or the third overall pick?
Yeah, he was in the top three. I forgot where the Jets picked him that year.
Just 3 years ago, he was the second or third pick. I think he was third. Just 3 years ago, the third overall pick in the draft, our next franchise quarterback, has been so bad that we can't even get a seven for him.
Yep.
So that means if we want to rid ourselves of this guy, we just got to release him. And then maybe someone picks him up. Maybe he was so bad he doesn't even get another chance.
Maybe. Maybe he goes
Things
to Canada.
Are so bad. Yeah, you know what? No, we're not going to trade him. We're gonna reform him. We're gonna teach him up. You know, he gets along really well with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron's going to take him under his wing and do what exactly? And did the coach say that? Yes, the coach did. But let me tell you, the coach seems like a real nice guy. You don't want your head coach to be a nice guy. You want your head coach to be the biggest jerk in the room. You want your head coach to piss you off so you get so mad, I'm going to show that MF-er, and I'm going to hit this guy, and I'm going to block him this way, and then you'll shut the hell up because I did it the right way. That's what you want in your head coach. You don't want someone patting you on the back.
And the Jets, I think the Jets need to stop. The Jets need to stop drafting quarterbacks and then expecting people who were formerly defensive coordinators who are now head coaches to, you know, like bring up a new quarterback because they don't know how to do that. They need an offensive coach to teach a rookie quarterback how to do things. And I don't think people who were defensive coordinators who are now head coaches don't know how to do that. And they just let other people do it.
To evaluate. The hardest position to evaluate, quarterback.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The hardest position to coach is quarterback. Mm-hmm. And when they draft these 22-year-old guys who have been pampered their whole lives.
Yes.
And they go to a program that they play with three wide receivers that all go in the pros and a tight end that goes in the pros and four out of five offensive linemen that get drafted. And they go, and it's easy because the pass rush isn't quite the same as it is in the pros. When all of that happens, and then they get drafted, and here you are, go play, be our star, lead us. It doesn't work that way. every quarterback, here's new rule. We're getting rid of one rule, one penalty every year we're getting rid of. And here's the new rule. From now on, every rookie quarterback drafted into the league or signed as a unrestricted, undrafted guy, every quarterback must sit out the first season, period. I don't care. He doesn't count on your roster.
I totally agree with that. I firmly believe like a rookie quarterback should, unless there's an emergency situation, a rookie quarterback should not start.
He can't play. He can't play. Give him a clipboard. Give him pom-poms. Give him a microphone. He could talk to the upstairs. I don't care. He can't play. That's my new rule. And the NFL might, like fans in cities might hate it. The NFL won't like it. The players, the quarterbacks sitting out won't like it. But 3 years from now, 4 years from now, we would have a better league because these guys would pick up something. You learn from watching. Watch someone do something better than you, and you'll pick something up from it.
Oh, no, you're...
I'm on a roll. I can't wait to get out of here and go be... I'm going to go fix something. I'm going off
all right,
to the highway.
So a couple more questions, and I think this should cover us for this week. Are you ready for the next one? Are you ready?
That's your next question. Yes, I am.
Okay, good. So someone has said, with Caleb Williams making magic, the Chicago Bears will be the NFL's Cinderella team of 2024. Do you agree with that, provided the Bears actually draft him?
No. Simple. There's a simple answer to that question. When is the last time the Bears had a quarterback throw for more than 3,500 yards in a season?
And the answer to that question 1986. Is
never.
Oh, really?
Never. It's never happened. Never happened.
Really?
It's never right. happened. I'm just saying it's never. So if you're the Bears and you think we're going to have, okay, so Cinch is rule number one. It's all about the quarterback.
Right, exactly.
Addendum number one, A to rule one, except if you're the Bears, because it's not about the quarterback. If you're the Bears, you've really, if I'm them, yeah, sure. I mean, you got to draft Caleb. He's the guy to draft. If I'm them, I would have gone out of my way to bring in Gardner Minshew. Or who's the guy, the Patriot? Jacoby Brissett. I would bring in the best
Mac
possible
Jones.
Backup.
Sorry.
No, I said the best possible backup. If I were the... Look, I'm a Patriot fan. I think they should draft a quarterback. One of the top three, whoever's there. And I think that quarterback should sit the entire season.
I agree.
The only way he plays is if Jacoby Brissett is the starter and he gets hurt. Mm-hmm. And even then... If he gets hurt in week three, I'm not putting him in there. I'll put in Zappe. Bailey Zappe is going in to be my starter then. I don't want, and this is whoever they draft, I don't want him playing because I want him to play when he's got a clue, when he's figured something out.
Mm-hmm.
I think you do damage when you go out there and you suck so bad because then you lose your confidence. Every athlete will lose their confidence. Tom Brady at some point lost his confidence. All of these athletes do. If you're out there and you're not sure of what you're doing, you don't have your confidence, you are going to fail.
Yeah.
I just think the Bears have never had what you could call a great quarterback.
Even Jim McMahon?
Jim McMahon was not a great quarterback. He was good. He was a good quarterback. But that was
a good team, though. So I don't know if it was just...
That was a great team. That was the best defense I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's true.
And he was just another guy.
That's true.
I wish him well.
I do too. Last I heard, he wasn't doing, like, his health wasn't super. So, Okay, next thing. You ready? And now, me personally, I am happy about this because now, if this person does sign with this team, I'll be okay with drafting him fantasy wise because there was a conflict of interest. J.K. Dobbins is set to visit the Chargers. Actually, I think he visited them today. It's Thursday. Do you think he helps the Chargers at all? I was always a big J.K. Dobbins fan when he was in college, and I was excited he was in the NFL. Not really excited he was a Raven. But then he now has a history of injuries, which is not good for a running back. But he goes to Chargers. Maybe it'll work. What do you think?
Well, I'll answer your question with a question. Do you think the Chargers need help on their injured reserve? Because... That's all Dobbins is good for.
Yeah, his His knees are pretty much paper mache at this point.
I feel bad for the guy.
I do too.
If he was here, he could beat the hell out of me, I'm sure.
Probably.
But
probably. Yeah.
There's just way too much evidence that this guy can't stay healthy. And it's not like he's getting hurt in week 10. He gets hurt preseason or game one.
Yeah. His injury history is not good. And if you're a running back, that's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. What's his name that played for Washington? Not Corey Davis. What the hell was his name?
What position?
Stephen Davis, running back.
Okay.
For the Washington, former past name of the Washington Commanders.
Wait, what team did he play on?
He played for the Washington football team.
Or did he play for the Washington Redskins?
He did. And he was hurt.
That was the team name. I am not interested in changing history because it offends people. The name of the team he played for was the Washington Redskins.
See, I knew that would bother Cinch. That's why I kept going with it.
The movie Major League is from the Cleveland Indians.
These things happened, and they
weren't that offensive.
You know, it is time for that movie. And Bob Uecker, who is the most amazing play-by-play guy ever.
I went to his induction in the Hall of Fame and heard his speech and everything. He was very good.
Oh, really? Oh, that's pretty awesome. That's awesome.
He was the same year as Gary Carter. I went for Gary Carter.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That is pretty awesome. Yeah, but was it Stefan or Steven? No, I don't remember. Davis. Anyway, he literally broke both of his knees at one point, like one after the other. And it was just never the same. So that's right.
I guarantee you, if anyone's listening to this, either they don't have any idea who you're talking about because they're too young.
Right.
Or
sure.
They're just playing this so that their dog could hear voices in the background.
You're right. You're right. So
who's a good girl?
I'm trying to see. Excuse me. Like I said, there's not a lot of news happening, but I'm trying to see if there's anything else that we can bring up, really. I don't really think so. And there's the construction again that I can't. Listen, all right, sidebar. We live in a condo, right? There is an apartment or condo below us, which is one floor. And then next to us, it's kind of like the same thing, just kind of reversed. So there's a two-floor condo and a one-floor condo. The people who have the two-floor condo, like us, who live like right next to us and our walls match, they have been redoing this bathroom. And it's not a very big bathroom. They've been redoing this bathroom for about 2 months. I swear to God, this better be the best bathroom in this, like within the, like 20 mile radius. Because this is insane to me. This bathroom is not big. We have the same bathroom. I know how big it is. And they've been doing this for like 2 months.
Sounds like they're drilling a hole so they could see into your apartment.
I think they are. God.
What Craig doesn't want to tell you is that he's living in the Madden Cruiser, and he's driving down 95 as we speak.
And you know what's crazy, too? Right now, where we are, it's after 5. So I don't know why the hell they're still here. I don't know.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Here. It's 5 o'clock here.
I'll drink to that.
Exactly. Hey, how was your beer? Was it good?
Tastes just like beer.
Awesome. With that and with the construction, I think we can kind of call it for this podcast. This is kind of insane.
The title of this podcast was Football Fig Nuts Under Construction.
You know what? I'm going to use that because thank you. Thank you for that.
I'm an ideas guy.
You are. And you're good at it. You're good at it. I know this will be good if you leave us a review, especially on iTunes, because that's really, really matters. And actually, I forgot to ask this, Cinch, because again, I'm all screwed up with the construction now, and I'm probably going to say the end in reverse again. Any final thoughts?
Nope.
Perfect.
I got nothing.
A final thought for me is if you like baseball, enjoy some baseball. It is America's pastime. You know, it's slower than football. It's more relaxing than football, unless you're a Mets or Yankees fan, and then it's very aggravating. Very aggravating. So,
Craig, I just remembered my final thought.
Yeah, what's that?
Teddy Roosevelt changed football.
Really?
I don't have a lot of time because it's the final thought, so you got to look this up on your own time.
Sure. What's the overall though? Yeah.
In 1905, there were 19 college football player deaths sustained while playing the game.
That's insane.
So when the president's son made it to the college level and began playing, he decided, I don't want my kid to die. So here, he got together and they formed the NCAA. They made some rule changes. I'm going to read through real quick just a couple of them.
Yeah, go ahead.
They changed the first down. It used to be all you had to get was 5 yards for a first down. They changed it, made it 10 yards.
Okay.
There was no forward pass. Every forward pass was illegal. So
really?
They changed it so that you could make a forward pass.
Oh, so it was more
so
like
teams
rugby.
Teams could move the ball down the field without shoving each other so much.
Okay.
And that was the rule change that had the biggest pushback from the coaches because they were afraid, and I'm quoting the story, that it would sissify the game. So what did I say, 1905?
You did.
1905,
so it fits.
They were
fine.
Worried that they were going to sissify the game.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, look up your history. All these rule changes, really, it's just Teddy Roosevelt's fault. He started this. Just leave the game alone.
And Cinch, thank you again. Thank you for joining me this week. I appreciate it. Just want to
say thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. I think they're sanding. I hope that's what they're doing because I don't know what else they're doing. And what are they sanding? This bathroom is not that big.
What you hear is a small rodent burrowing through Craig's brain. He's in the skull right now.
God. Yeah, when I edit this later, I have to see how bad this sounds because this might annoy people. But hopefully I can mostly get rid of it. But we'll see. We'll see.
Are you worried that your listeners are going to become sissified if you put this out there?
They might with this. I don't understand. I don't understand what they're doing because I used to live over there and I know what it looks like. So I don't get it. With that, I just wanted to say hi, Deb, as we always do. And this has been another episode of the Football Fig Nuts Podcast. I'm Craig.
I'm Cinch.
And I said it backwards on purpose. Have a good night, everybody.